I want to look at two different chapters. One is in chapter 31. That's where we'll begin tonight. Exodus chapter 31, then also if you want to put a finger over there in chapter 40. Exodus chapter 31, and then Exodus chapter 40. Had a good day today, and was so thrilled to be able to be such a blessing to Sister Rummel. And that do your heart good to be a blessing to her. And, well, that's just, we've been thanked, and maybe others of the family thanked you for doing this. But I think that this is just one of those things that we need to do every now and then. As I was praying this morning, I believe it was this morning, either this morning or last night, I prayed this specifically, that we wanted to bring honor to God by bringing and giving honor to her. The Bible says to give honor, in so many words, to give honor to those who have honor that is due them. Give honor to whom honor is due is what we usually say. And I feel like she was worthy of honor. Just a good, good saint of God. Exodus chapter 31, beginning at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, and in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Chapter 40. Chapter 40, beginning at verse 33. Exodus chapter 40, verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journey. Amen. Journeys, I should say. You can be seated. I'd like to say I appreciate having my mother-in-law with us this past week, and she'll be with us most of this week. And in thanking God for mothers, I thank God for the mother of my wife. Amen. She also had a godly upbringing, and I appreciate that. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight, the Lord helping me. And I want to be able to tie these two verses, these two passages of Scripture together. And when we're done, I hope that we will be able to have successfully put these together in the thought that I feel the Lord has impressed upon me several months ago. I want to preach to you simply on the topic, consume me. Consume me. Bible readers will readily acknowledge the fact that the tabernacle of the Old Testament is a type of the body of Christ. As an earthly dwelling place for God, it also serves as a type of our physical body, which is the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Nothing that we have, nothing that we are, is really ours. So you think about that for a moment. All that we are or ever hope to be, if we are to be anything for God, will be wholly the work of God in our lives and in our hearts. If we're ever to accomplish anything for the Lord, we really cannot be the one to take the credit for it. If we are to see something achieved, we might have somebody thank us, or we might have somebody identify us with the end result or the end work. But let us never forget that nothing that we have is really ours. And all that we are or ever hope to be will be wholly the work of God in our hearts and in our lives. As we were reading there in Exodus chapter 31, we're reading of the preparation and the choices that were made for those who would be instrumental in performing specific tasks to prepare for the Lord a dwelling place upon the earth. As we read, we know that God had chosen Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And when God met Moses, Moses was full of excuses. You remember reading that? Moses had a reason why he could not lead the children of Israel. He had a problem with his speech. He was unable to speak eloquently or fluently in a way that he perceived a leader ought to be able to speak. But I like the story as we read further and find that God had already had an answer for his excuses. God had provided for himself someone that would be his mouthpiece. Here we find that God has given to Moses the task of constructing this, as we know, as the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God, this temporary place where God would come and meet with mankind. And there were several things that were going to, of course, make up this tabernacle. There were some instructions, specifically a pattern that God had prepared for Moses. New Testament Bible readers will recall that this pattern that God had given to Moses had to be followed strictly, because it was more than just a construction of an Old Testament edifice. We find as we read the Bible that this Old Testament construction was going to be more than just a place of business where the priests would fulfill the requirements that God was to give to them. But this tabernacle was going to be a picture of spiritual things that were to come. Moses, the Bible says, was learned in all the things, all the learning of the Egyptians. God had in His wisdom, God had in His sovereignty, in His divine will, had worked it out where Moses would be displaced. Amen. Talking about wondering as a mother why certain things take place the way they do. Amen. I'm sure that Moses' mother would have wondered why her child would be taken from her to be raised in the palace of the Egyptian Pharaoh. Amen. But God had a plan. Amen. And there Moses was learned in all of the learning of the Egyptians. And now God has called and commissioned Moses, amen, to construct, to put together a tent, if you will, a tabernacle with all of its furnishings. And this was going to have to be made according to the pattern. Amen. So he was learned in the things and in the learning of the Egyptians. Amen. Moses, this man of God, was familiar with the words and the working of God. But he was not familiar. He was not skilled, amen, in sculpture. He was not skilled in embroidery. He was not skilled in the putting together of this construction. Amen. While there may have been some that were talented ones among all the Israelites, we can be quite certain that none of them were trained in specialized skills. Amen. For all of their lives, these men lived, amen, a life of slavery in Egypt. They knew how to work in clay, and they knew how to construct bricks, amen, but to cut precious stones and to construct items of, amen, of gold, amen, what were they going to be able to do with these things? These men were not trained in these things. And so how would this marvelous task be accomplished? By constructing or of constructing a dwelling place for God and all of its furnishings with the precious and meticulous, amen, preparation that would be prepared or required, amen, to put all of this together. Who is it that God could call? Who is it that God could rely upon? Would He go back to an Egyptian? Would He require them to come? No, that's not the way God desired to work. Amen. But God Himself, amen, chooses the workers. And then when God chooses, listen to me, when God chooses the worker, He then qualifies them for the work that He calls them to do. Hallelujah. I believe I can get to feeling a little better after a while. When I think about this task that God has set before us. Amen. I know we're all tired and I know we're all a little warm. I turned the heat on last night so there wouldn't be too cold in here. And I found as we got service started, it's not too cold. How many of you already figured that out? It's certainly not too cold in here tonight. So maybe I've got to struggle with that warmth and that heat to keep you from swooning off to sleep. But I want to talk to you a little while, if the Lord will help me here, out of Exodus chapter 31 and Exodus chapter 40. Amen. God had called to Moses, and God chose Bezaleel and Aholiab, and not only these, He chose for Himself all those that were willing and had a wise heart, and He enabled them to perform the task that He had required of Moses. Matthew Henry said, when God has a work to do, He will never want instruments to do it with. In other words, He will never be in want of instruments. You see, if God can speak into nothingness and create something, He can take somebody that can do nothing and help them to make something. Amen. Somebody said that where God's finger points the way, His hand will provide the way. Amen. And so there's no mountain high enough that if God calls us to climb it, you and I can't climb. We can do it. There's no valley deep enough that if the Lord calls us down into the valley, that you and I can't walk into the valley. Amen. There's no river wide enough or deep enough that if the Lord wants us to walk on the water or bring us to the other side, if the Lord speaks it. Amen, friend. You can mark it down that it can be done. Somebody say amen. Oh, hallelujah. It doesn't matter what the task is before us. It doesn't matter the magnitude or the size. It doesn't matter the difficulty. Amen. Or the excuses that you and I might be able to come up with. If God speaks the word, friend, you and I all have to say simply, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there was a tremendous task to be accomplished. There was a lot of work, I'm sure, that was to be involved. I'm not going to take all the time to go through what was expected of these men. We read there. We read there in those first few verses of all the things that these men, especially Bezaleel, who was the grandson, they believe, of Hur, who worked with Aaron, Moses' brother, to hold up the rod of God when I believe it was the Amalekites that was there fighting in the valley. Amen. Aaron and Hur standing there. This now, the grandson of Hur, has been called upon, chosen by God. Amen. To be here and to be involved in the work of the preparation and the assembly of this tabernacle. Now, I've worked a little bit in construction. I've done a little bit in the art field and worked with paint and different mediums in paint. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. Brother Buddy, I know, has carved things and worked on things. Some people are talented and skilled to be able to take a block. You've seen maybe somebody that'll go out in an old tree stump that looks like it's not good enough for anything but to be cut off and burned out. Somebody will come along with a chainsaw of all things and chisel out a beautiful eagle or some type of a figure out of that. Amen. Some people have the skills and the talents to be able to do that. Here we read that Bezaleel, with him, Aholiab, and some of the others, they were going to devise, listen to the words here, cunning works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass. They were to work in the cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Amen. That was Bezaleel. Then he goes on and talks about Aholiab. Aholiab and all those that are wise-hearted. The Bible says, I have put wisdom. And so here are those that are known as being wise-hearted. Now we see where it's coming from. It's the Lord that has given them wisdom. And it says that they may make all that I have commanded thee. God has given to Moses these to help him carry out the task that God has given to him. The tabernacle, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is up thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle. Verse 8, the table and its furniture, the pure candlestick. We don't need to go into all the detail. Amen. This candlestick, of course, was a beaten work of one solid piece of gold. Amen. That was not somebody that simply had been working in it for a while. That's just not going to happen to somebody that all he knew was working in the quarries and mixing clay and mud and mortar and carving out stones and building pyramids. Amen. This was a mighty act of God to enable these men. Oh, help me. Amen. Here tonight. Amen. I want to preach to you on consume me. Amen. As we talk about all the work that these men are involved with, and to know that God called them and God commissioned them and God, amen, enabled them. I want us this evening to focus our attention not simply upon those that were chosen, but on the one who chooses. Praise God. The mistake has been repeated throughout the history of humankind. To finish a task and to put our signature on the finished product. Where were we at? We was at a restaurant the other day. Brother Kevin Lloyd and some others were there, my brothers. And there we saw on the wall a painting by a well-known artist. And in this painting, you can tell his art by the emphasis on light. Brother Kevin Lloyd pointed out to us, and he brought up, you're familiar with this man who is known as the painter of light. Amen. Thomas Kincaid. And on every one of his paintings, of course, you'll find his signature. That signature really doesn't always have to be there for you to know it's his, because oftentimes if you're familiar with his painting, you can tell his painting by another signature. The signature of the emphasis of light. But I found out as we were standing there talking, Brother Lloyd pointing out that this man also will further signature or sign his paintings by somewhere in the painting scribing the name of his wife. Interesting. Put the name of his wife somewhere. Right in the middle of the painting. Now you may have to look at it. You may have to look for it for a little while. But after a while, now I didn't find it on there. But if you know what you're looking for, I was told that you can find his wife's name in just about every painting. I got to thinking about that this afternoon as I come down here and I walked around this sanctuary a couple times and just asking the Lord to help us in the service tonight. Went back up there into that office and sat down, opened up my Bible and laid out the paper and clicked on the computer and laid out some notes and began to write. Begin to look at these that God had chosen and begin to think of the masterpieces that were put together for this tabernacle. Amen. Oh, but we don't look at those who made the masterpieces. Although we recognize years later what they represented. Amen. While there may have been some talented ones. Amen. God was not calling those. He called who He wanted to. And then He enabled them to the task. Amen. But by the time that they got done. Amen. Oh, in the time they got done. Amen. We don't find probably this inscription of Bezaleel's signature, his initials, anywhere on anything that he did. Amen. Oh, but listen, it's the mistake of humankind. Amen. To try to put their name on something that they really have no business getting the credit. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. They try to put their name on something that they have no business getting the credit for. But all the while, it's God that is working in us and through us to perform something to ultimately bring glory to God. Jesus said, let men see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So when we think, though his name probably wasn't put on it, but somebody put the title there, we think of this large seagoing vessel of the Old Testament. Called the ark, we often call it Noah's ark. Follow me tonight. When I think of the Tower of Babel and I think of the rebellion of the people of that day, my mind immediately goes to the great rebel named Nimrod. When I think of that, the greatness and the splendor of that city called Babylon, we think of a great and glorious and majestic king named Nebuchadnezzar. Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? Nebuchadnezzar said, amen. The beautiful and majestic temple at Jerusalem was often called, and usually is still, Solomon's temple. You ever thought of that? I did tonight or this afternoon. Solomon's temple. Is it not in the nature of worldly men to make a name for themselves? Amen. This is my ministry. This is my church. This is my college. Look what I have accomplished. Amen. Some make a name for themselves by their identification with other men. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 12. There were some that said, I am of Paul. I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. But Paul the apostle scolds them in chapter 3 of the same book. He says, for one, while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, he said, are ye not carnal? Amen. Notice here, there were no apparent differences in the doctrine of these men. And so what these followers were fascinated by had to be some visible, some outward mannerism. Something that attracted them to the ministry of that one. And so, in order to be identified with the group that they wanted to be identified with, one would say, I am of Apollos. And another one would say, but I am of Cephas. Another one would say, I am of Paul. Amen. And so the apostle points out the error of their actions and the carnality. Now, it was possible that Apollos was more eloquent. It was possible that Apollos was more articulate than the Apostle Paul. And so those distinguished Greeks would say, I am of Apollos. And somebody who was from Jerusalem would strut in and say, hey, I'm from the first church, and I go to where Cephas is the pastor. Amen, Paul the apostle. Amen. Points out their error. The choosing of one over the other proved that they were attracted to or captivated by a man. They were captivated by his ministry. They were captivated by his speaking. They were captivated by his style, by his mannerisms. And they chose to identify themselves with certain ones. Amen. And all the Apostle Paul lets them know, this is carnal. Now, what's so carnal about it? Because it's based upon man. It's based upon, listen to me, it's based upon what man can do. It's based upon man's talent. It's based upon man's ability. Amen. Oh, I'm preaching to you on consume me. Amen. You'll follow me and you'll begin to recognize where I'm going with this. Amen. Oh, the first, amen, I want you to recognize, amen, in our text, the work was finished. And when we get there in Ezekiel, Exodus, rather, chapter number 40, amen, Moses had to get out of the way. I want you to look there in Exodus 40, if you have your Bible still open to that. Exodus chapter 40, verse 33. And he reared up the court round about the tabernacle and the altar, and set up the hanging of the court gate. So Moses finished the work. He reared up and he hung up and he was finished. Now let's watch what happens. As I look at this, I see that there was a total yielding up of all now to God. Follow this with me, just for a few moments. everything constructed and put together. For the tabernacle had now been put in its place. Amen. All those that had been involved in the working of this tabernacle, all those that had been involved in the construction of the furniture, all those that had been involved in the tapestry and in the embroidery and in the stitching of the silver thread, all those that had been involved in the overlaying of gold, those that had been involved in the gathering of the wood, those that had been involved in the putting together of the curtains, those that had been involved in the moving everything into place, now brings them to the tabernacle. This is what I thought about this afternoon. When they got done with their pieces, they got done with their article of art, of cunning skill. When they completed the task, they didn't set it up in their living room. They didn't hang it up on their wall. They didn't display it out in their front yard. They didn't put a sign up and said, "Come and see the golden candlestick of Bezalel." But the Bible says they put it in the tabernacle. He reared up the court. It's talking about Moses, but really we see from reading in chapter 31 that he had a lot of people working with him. And so though they're using his name and they're referring to him, he was the one responsible to see that it was going to be done right. And when he reared up the court and set up the hanging, he was finished. The work that God had set him to do on that task was complete. And here's what I get from that. Everything had been in their hands while it was being prepared. But now, it is all brought and handed over to the Lord. Now, if the Lord will help me, I want to preach on consume me. Amen. The first step of a consecrated life is to surrender to God what is my own. The first step in your life, if you're going to call your life consecrated, is to surrender what you've got. Amen. And give it to God. Amen. The first step of consecration is to surrender our own. Oh Lord, help me. Now follow me. You are not your own. Amen. Is what the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. You are to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Amen. The selfless handing over of yourselves. Amen. Is rendered whole. The selfless handing over of ourselves is rendered acceptable, even in the sight of God. And by the way, it's considered only a reasonable service. Amen. The burnt offering of the Old Testament symbolized the total dedication of the offering unto God. The burnt offering is based upon the original Hebrew word pronounced olah, meaning ascending, as in going upward in smoke. You heard of somebody who had a total loss and their house burned to the ground. They say it's gone up in smoke. I'd like to say tonight, it was consumed. It was consumed. It was burned. Amen. Oh Lord, help us tonight. Listen, the burnt offering. The burnt offering, when you look at the different offerings of the Old Testament, it was the burnt offering that was completely consumed by fire. So that it, listen to this, it was completely consumed by fire so that it could no longer be available for anything else. Amen. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. The burnt offering was brought. Amen. It was consumed.
consumed so that there would be absolutely nothing left to be able to offer to anything or anybody else. Amen. Noah took, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8, he took of every clean animal and of every clean bird. And the Bible says he offered up a burnt sacrifice unto the Lord. Amen. Oh, wouldn't you be excited and grateful had the Lord delivered you from such a horrible deluge? And can I say to you tonight, he has. Amen. God has delivered us. God has set us free from all the destruction that is certain to come upon the earth. God has set us free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. Noah took of those animals and offered them up to God. A burnt sacrifice. Amen. We read a little while later in Genesis chapter 12 that God called to himself a man by the name of Abraham. And he told Abraham, if you would but follow me, I would make of you a great and mighty nation. After a while, amen, God gave Abraham a promised son. But would you believe, amen, that after this little boy named Isaac, amen, was born and he was loved by his dad, God required of Abraham to go up into the mountain and offer him up. And what kind of sacrifice would you suppose that God was demanding of Abraham in the offering of his only son? You say it wasn't his only son, it was his promised son. Amen. His wife was well past the flower of her age, if you will. Amen. It was a miracle that he had even had a child. Amen. And God had given him Isaac. Oh, but now after he is grown and he's a young boy, possibly in his teens, possibly with his dad well over 100 years old, well able to take his dad and run. Amen. God meets with Abraham and calls him to the mountain and says, offer there your son as a burnt sacrifice. You know what that meant? That everything he offered would be everything he had. Everything that he had hoped for rested in that boy. The Bible tells us that he takes his son and he goes to that mountain. Because of his great faith, God provided a substitute, and you read where that ram was offered up, a burnt sacrifice. That ram laid there on the altar that had been constructed for Isaac, and every bit of that ram was consumed in the fire. The book of Leviticus gives us the law of the burnt sacrifice. Moses gave us the law of the burnt offering as he received it from God. It says in Leviticus chapter 6, we won't read all of it, beginning at verse 8 through about verse 13. Amen. The Bible tells us concerning this fire. Now I want you to listen to me. The Bible says concerning the fire of the burnt sacrifice that it was to burn continually and that it was to never go out. Amen. This fire was to never go out from the standpoint of heaven. Amen. From the viewpoint of God's throne. Amen. From the viewpoint of eternity. I've come to the conclusion tonight, amen, that it must be all Christ. Amen. As I stand behind the pulpit, I've come to the conclusion that it has to be all of Christ. Amen. When I get up in the morning and face the day, it can't be the man I see in the mirror. It has to be all Christ. If I knock on the door on a weekend and invite somebody to Sunday school, it can't be Michael Johnson standing at the door. Amen. It must be all Christ if we're going to ever accomplish anything for God. Are you listening to me tonight? You and I need to be consumed, and he alone must remain. several months ago as I was walking across the front of this church. This came to my realization right about there. I was just doing my normal thing. Just kind of praying. Just trying to pull all my thoughts together. Focus upon the Lord and pray. Speak to God. And I begin to say, Lord, I'm needing your help. Lord, I realize that I can't do this by myself. Follow me here for a second. Lord, I cannot pastor this church by myself. I can't do it by my name. I can't do it by my skill or talent. Amen. There are far greater priests. Listen. Amen. I'm saying this from my heart. There are far better preachers that can stand in that pulpit and walk up and down these aisles. Amen. But God, for some reason, amen, has placed me here as the candlestick of Trinity Holiness Tabernacle. And it dawned on me as I got about right here and turned around and walking back, I said, Lord, it must be more you and less of me. I began to start having a heart change. I began to recognize some deep truth the Lord was trying to reveal to me on that afternoon or morning or whatever it was, as I was walking across, back and forth, across the front of this church. Amen. I come to the realization, more of Him and less of me. Amen. I've come to the conclusion tonight that that is the key to greatness. Amen. Oh, we can read about it. Amen. John the Baptist said, He must increase and I must decrease. Paul the Apostle said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, it is no longer I, but it is Christ that lives in me. I'm talking about being consumed, that the old man passes. Amen. That me dies and he is revived. Hallelujah. Colossians 1 and 27. The Apostle Paul says, Christ in you, the Lord, or rather the hope of glory. You've heard it preached. You've heard it spoken. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Can I say to you tonight that the reason why God took him was because it was no longer Enoch walking. Amen. He had gotten so close to God. Amen. That his life was consumed in the life of God. Amen. And God saw, amen, that he had a better plan. Amen. And brought him home. Enoch was not, because he was consumed with God. Amen. My prayer that afternoon and is still tonight, Lord, consume me. Amen. Oh, when Bezalel and Aholiab brought their articles, they gave them to the tabernacle. It was no longer theirs. It was all God's. We never find anywhere else where Bezalel or Aholiab is really, amen, credited with all of their glorious work. Amen. No plaque was hung in their back to, amen, to tell everybody else about what they've done. But there they sit. The Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat. Those golden angels. That beaten golden candlestick. That table of showbread. That brazen laver and that brazen altar. Amen. Oh, and I want to conclude this message, if the Lord will help me tonight. Amen. Back in Exodus chapter 40, the Bible says in verse number 34, Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Amen. Oh, here's the key. Amen. When they yielded their work over to God, amen, God's presence came down. Amen, God's cloud covered that place. And God's glory filled the place. Hallelujah. Some of us are masters. Right when the emotion swings us the right way, We'll come to this altar and we'll pray just a little while. But the problem is you get back up. Oh, listen to me tonight. The problem is you get back up from that altar and you walk out, amen, in the strength of your own might and power, and you wonder why you can never make it. I'm telling you tonight why you can't make it. It's because it's always you down and you going up. But if I can get down on this altar and I can present myself a living sacrifice. Somebody listen to me tonight. If I can present myself as a living sacrifice and say, Lord, I'm tired of my old ways. I'm tired of the struggles that I've been having. Amen. It's because that old man keeps rising back up. Amen. It's got to be a daily thing with you then. Amen. The old man must die. Amen. He can't be left to swoon. He must be sacrificed. There can't be anything left to give to anybody else. It's got to be a complete sacrifice. It's got to be a burnt sacrifice. Somebody listening to me tonight? Am I just talking to myself? Is this for anybody in this place? Or is it just for the preacher? Some people are content for the preacher to be sacrificed. They'll do the sacrificing. Some people are content. The preacher says, consume me. Some people are content to feel, well, it's all right for the preacher to be dedicated. He don't face what I've got to face. I've got something to tell you tonight. I face worse than you're facing. Amen. I face the devil. And I know, amen, it takes a consumed life to overcome. My prayer tonight, consume me. Consume me. Consume me. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, amen, you have nothing that hasn't been given to you. Amen. As the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart tonight and convicting you all over again. Amen. I'm here to tell you, you've got nothing. Amen. You have not brought anything into this world. And you're not going to take anything out when you leave. Amen. Oh, we've got to be committed to God. We've got to be consecrated. We've got to be consumed. Consume me. Consume me. Consume me. Let's see, where was I at? The cloud covered the tent, and the glory filled the tabernacle. The presence of Jehovah covered, and the glory of Jehovah filled. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd like to be in a place where His covering is over me. Amen. I'd like to not only be covered. Amen. God in His grace has kept you till tonight. God in His grace has kept you while you've been in and out. God in His grace has kept you when you go up and down. Amen. Oh, He's covered you. He's protected you. Amen. But if you'll give your all to Him, He'll be delighted to fill you. Amen. Oh, when His presence filled the place, notice, Moses could not go in. No longer Moses, but God inhabits the tabernacle. My prayer is, consume me. Consume me, O God, so that I no longer reside inside, but that the Spirit of God not only covers, but that He fills me from head to toe. And when I rise up from this altar and walk out, it is no longer I, but Christ, completely consumed. Nothing left of me to offer to the devil, to offer to the world. Amen. You'll know real quick if you've been completely consumed, if you're no longer attracted to the things of this world, because you've left nothing for the world to have. Anybody still feeling revived? Consume me. Here's the order. Number one, the people surrendered. They reared up. They reared up. They set up. The people surrendered. Number two, the Lord accepted the offering. Verse number 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation. The people reared up and they hung up. God accepted it. He covered. And thirdly, the glory filled. The people surrendered. The Lord accepted the sacrifice. And His glory filled the tabernacle. Verse 35, and Moses could not enter the tabernacle because of the cloud and the glory. Amen. I'd like to be so full of God that it's no longer I, but it's Christ. And His glory. And His covering cloud that goes with me. How about you tonight? That's my prayer. Consume me. Young person, how about it for you tonight? I'm awful tired. That's all right. Can you make your prayer consume me? How about it? Adult, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa. How about it? Would you make it your prayer? For thy pleasure I've been created. Lord, I bring myself, body, soul, and spirit, to this altar. And I lay myself out upon it. I don't have anything that's mine anyways. I'm all yours. So consume me. How about it tonight? Will you bring yourself to this altar to be consumed by God? And I'm closing with this statement. Let's stand together. Somebody come to the piano if you would. I close with this statement. Is your all going to be on that altar? Is your all going to be on that altar? As she begins to play, I want every head bowed and every eye closed. The Lord impressed this message.